Hello, Zimbabwe. Welcome to Live Talk. We are coming to you live from Studio 7 at the Voice of America in Washington. And I am your host, Evans Zininga. And today on Live Talk, we are wrapping up our coverage of the 79th session of the ongoing United Nations General Assembly in New York, here in the U.S. First, let's take a quick look at what is happening in Zimbabwe. The Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe has devalued the fast depreciating Zimbabwe gold, or ZiG, by almost 50% following threats by some big retailers to shut down their businesses if they are being forced to sell commodities in the local currency currently trading at more than 33 ZiG per US dollar on the black market. The RBZ published the new US ZiG rates on its official website, showing that the ZiG has been devalued to 23.4 to the US dollar from 14. The RBZ Monetary Policy Committee, which met today in Harare, has recommended that the central bank should allow greater exchange rate flexibility in line with increased demand for foreign currency in the economy. The committee has also recommended that the bank should reduce the amount of foreign exchange an individual can take out of the country from US $10,000 to US $2,000. And coming out of the United Nations General Assembly, the war in Gaza returned to center stage at Thursday's United Nations General Assembly debates with a speech from the Palestinian president. VOA's UN correspondent Margaret Bishar has more.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas received a show of support as he took the podium and spoke about the more than 41,000 Palestinians who have died in the past 11 months of Hamas-Israeli fighting.
Hundreds of Palestinian families have been annihilated. Entire family names have been wiped out of the civil record. More than 100 families have been completely wiped out of the civil record. They no longer exist. Thousands have died because of the spread of disease and epidemics and the shortages in medicine and water.
Abbas did not name Hamas, but he referred to the October 7 terror attacks, condemned the killing of all civilians, and called for the release of all detained persons, an indirect reference to the hostages taken from Israel. He called on the international community to act to end the war.
Stop this crime. Stop it now. Stop killing children and women. Stop the genocide. Stop sending weapons to Israel. This madness cannot continue.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address the assembly on Friday after delaying his trip due to the military escalation with Hezbollah militants in Lebanon. American and French diplomats have proposed a temporary ceasefire to calm tensions after a wave of Israeli attacks and airstrikes on southern Lebanon and Hezbollah rockets launched at Israel.
War is not inevitable. A diplomatic solution is indeed possible. In recent days, we've worked with our American partners on a temporary ceasefire platform of 21 days to allow for negotiations.
In Haiti, gangs have been terrorizing the population, taking over parts of the capital and kidnapping, raping, and killing civilians. In June, Kenya deployed around 400 police as part of a multinational force to help quell the violence.
The National Security Forces, with the support of the mission, have already demonstrated tangible results on the ground, making it possible for the population, little by little, to see normal life restored. But a lot still remains to be done.
Kenyan President William Ruto said he would be sending another contingent to Haiti by January, and he urged more countries to support the mission with needed equipment and funding.
The progress so far in Haiti demonstrates that what was once deemed mission impossible is indeed a present and undeniable possibility.
The annual UN meetings always attract a wide variety of protesters. On Thursday, as the Palestinian president spoke, supporters gathered a few blocks from the UN headquarters to demand a ceasefire in Gaza. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Now let's turn to our reporter, Taboka Ncube, in New York for a wrap-up of the United Nations General Assembly.
The United Nations General Assembly High-Level Week ends this week following discussions on different issues that affect the world. World leaders focused on the wars happening around the world, climate change, poverty, inequality, and diseases. A major highlight was the Summit of the Future, which brought together world leaders to sign the Pact for the Future, which sets the course for a new era of global cooperation with technology at its core. The pact aims above all to ensure that international institutions can fulfill their functions in a world that has changed dramatically since they were created. The UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, in his speech, warned world leaders that impunity, inequality, and uncertainty are driving modern civilization toward a power cake that risks engulfing the world. U.S. President Joe Biden used his final presidential address before the United Nations to urge unity in the face of challenges, including conflicts in Ukraine, Gaza, and Sudan. He announced that the U.S. is donating 1 million mpox vaccine doses and at least $500 million to African nations to support their response to the outbreak that has killed hundreds of people in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who spoke Friday morning, said his country will not stop until it brings back all its people who were taken hostage by Hamas. He said he is not at war with the people, but with militants. African presidents also spoke on the need for Africa to be included in the UN Security Council so that they have a second seat. South African President Cyril Ramaphosa used his speech to reiterate this. The representative for Zimbabwe, Foreign Minister Frederick Shava, also reiterated this while he was giving his speech, and also called for the removal and lifting of sanctions in Zimbabwe and in Cuba. Taboka Ncube, reporting for VOA News in New York.
Thank you to Taboka there. He's been giving us these roundups every day since the assembly started. And as we wrap it up today, we hope to continue to hear the rest of what's going to happen. On that note, let's take a short break. Please stay tuned. We will be right back.
In times of change, when the world seems uncertain, and what we hear doesn't reflect what we see, we seek the truth. When we are told only part of the story, we lose trust. In moments of crisis, our dreams, hopes, and wishes for a better tomorrow depend on a free press. At Voice of America, we bring you the stories that people take risks to see. We connect the world and unite it with truth. At Voice of America, we show you the whole picture.
For those that have just joined us, please note that we are streaming live on our Facebook page of VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Tino kuchingamidzai vatereri nasi tine nyaya hombe pano inotarisa zvakabuda mugungano guru rangariri ku New York re United Nations General Assembly. Uko kwatakapedza svondo rese tichinonga nonga tichinzwa zvanga zvichiitika nguva dzose idzodzo kubva muvhuro misangano yakawanda yakapindwa zvizhinji zvakaitwa, saka tichange tichinzwa zvizhinji zvinotevera. Let's bring our phone guests and we will introduce a lawyer and ZANU-PF member Masimba Mabaza, and also Professor Ricky Mukonza, a political analyst based in South Africa. Let me start with Professor Mukonza. Prof, in a quick nutshell, what's your take on the, as we wind up the General Assembly coverage, what has been your greatest takeaways from this assembly?
I think the United Nations General Assembly focused on the very issues that are, you know, topical in both global and in some cases regional politics across the world. You take, for example, issues to do with the conflict in Gaza, the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, and also certain general issues that are affecting, different areas across the world. You know, issues to do with climate change, issues to do with poverty, inequality, and so I think it touched on issues that I think are critical for human development.
Uh-huh. Good pointers there you have thrown there. And let's also turn back to our other guest, Mamabaza. What were your biggest takeaways from this assembly? Dr. Mabaza, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Come in, please. What were your biggest takeaways from the assembly?
Yes, I was saying the biggest takeaway is, I agree with Professor Mkonda, is that it has given emphasis on the humanitarian assistance throughout the world. But unfortunately, regardless of that, nothing has come up regarding the war in Beirut, the war in Gaza, and the war in Ukraine. It was just a talk, but nothing concrete has come up. It means this has been a failure, because this General Assembly came under the challenge of global wars, which are quite dangerous to the world peace. And we had hoped that when we meet in this General Assembly, those issues will be discussed. But furthermore, coming back home, we realize that regardless of our pleas for the sanctions to be removed, the General Assembly did not come up with a resolution of assisting Zimbabwe in ending these sanctions against Zimbabwe, the evil sanctions against Zimbabwe, even though they had insisted that the sanctions for targeted people. You cannot hit a head of a snake and expect a snake to live. Neither can you decapitate a head of a man and expect the man to run. So we are simply saying those under sanctions are the heads, are the businesses, are the ones who should be in there for the country. And if their legs and wings are cut, the country is cut down. So it is a disappointment, really, that we come to an end of this conference and nothing concrete has been said for us as Zimbabwe, as a country, and for the world peace. Except just talking and talking, but there's no critical action which has been taken. There's nothing which has been said.
Oh, okay.
Being sent to Ukraine.
Mamabaza.
Or to Gaza. Yes, sir.
Regarding Kubate Muromo, I think you've said a lot of points from your end there. We are noting everything down. Let me take this opportunity, gentlemen, to put you on a brief hold and introduce to you a secret guest. I had a surprise guest for you today live here in the studios. I have Mr. Gift Ostalos Siziba, a politician from Zimbabwe in the opposition side of things. And he is joining us here today. Welcome, Gift. Thank you for coming, man.
Thank you very much.
Good
thank
to you see you. What brings you to DC? Let's start from there.
Thank you very much. I came here because the United Nations General Assembly this time around had the Summit of the Future. So I was participating in the Summit of the Future, particularly on conversations around governance and conversations around the Pact of the Future and the Youth Action Day, which was hosted a few days ago in New York. And of course, it became essential for me, obviously, to travel to Washington to meet with Zimbabweans and other, you know, progressive people that we engage in the work that we do.
Mm, that's quite a mission there. You heard what Dr. Mabaza has said and what Professor Mkonza has said on their takeaways from the assembly. You attended some of the sessions. What was your biggest takeaway?
I think that we also submitted our conversations, particularly from the side of the academy, around the reform of the global governance infrastructure. You know that there's a huge contribution and conversation that was taking place around reform of the United Nations Security Council, and Africa obviously having to get two seats, you know, permanent seats within the United Nations Security Council. There are so much concerns around that framework and contribution from different heads of states around how that should be executed, and different players also around its effectiveness and how, you know, that is going to play, particularly whether or not Africa should be having veto powers within the United Nations Security Council. So we also obviously provided our contribution. And the different side events and conversations that were happening were trying to interrogate how, you know, the global governance infrastructure ought to be.
This is as opposition.
Look, we're having a lot of different platforms, one hosted by the African Union, ECOSOC, others hosted by different institutions. So people were moving from one panels and conversations, others hosted by the United Nations itself. So we had a couple of events, more than 500 of them happening at the same time.
That's a lot. Mabaza. Taimbovaziva vari ku triple seat kazo ziva zva kwakawanda asi vari pano ndo chakakosha manzwa zvavataurawo misangano yavakapinda ne zvavativo vakasubmitawo as submissions to the assembly. What's your take on the presence of opposition, the presence of different ideologies going into the assembly at this time of the year in this with the United Nations, with where it is in the current status?
Democratically, it is quite encouraging that such issues have been brought up to the greater forum of the United Nations. But it is said that we have failed opposition leaders like Mr. Stalos there to come and present. I don't know on whose mandate was that and whom is he representing, unless it was a personal interest. So it is said because that is not representing neither the opposition, neither is it representing Zimbabweans. And I don't even know, because he might explain to us further, that whose mandate was he, or which constituents was he representing. It's unfortunate that while we all yearn for democracy, we do not have a democratic opposition. We have the most confused one and rush to the international world to say whatever they say, but it does not help, because it does not come from the grassroots. And it takes the agenda nowhere, because there is nothing really which is being done. I do applaud the courage of the young man Osalos, and I do applaud his insistence in the political sector. But I would urge him to group up with some people in if they want to form an opposition.
Let me also let Professor Mkonza chip in if you would like to weigh in before we give the floor to Mr. Siziva.
My brother Ostalos is saying in terms of the submissions that they made, those are quite progressive submissions, and indeed We cannot continue to think about the current and present generation and forget that we have a future, and we have future generations that we must, you know, preserve resources. You know, use the resources in a manner that does not exhaust them for future generations. I tend to agree with Ms. Mawasa that I think our opposition political actors in Zimbabwe have not done Zimbabwe a good service, because I think the chaos that is there is there for all to see, and that does not really augur well for Zimbabweans who do not want ZANU-PF and who are hoping for a credible alternative that that can take the country forward. I think that's a very important point, that you know, opposition political actors need to sit down in their multiplicity and think about.
Nditenderei ndikubatei muromo, Prof. Vanozokanganwa zvamataura vamavaza vataura futi toda kuvapa mukana wekupindura. Would you like to respond to these gentlemen, Mr. Assis?
I don't think that discourse at such a high-level international platforms can be reduced to political posturing and labeling. You know, we do that in the streets of Harare, but I don't think that your contribution in the international arena and geopolitics of the world should be, you know, reduced to such kind of submissions that have brought with respect by Dr. Mavaz. I know that obviously belonging to ZANU-PF, they think that at every opportunity given, you must draw the jibe. Look, I'm completing my PhD now. I think that those who differ must differ at the level of superior logic. It must be about the substance of your contribution, because once we go to the debate and discourse about what we represent, it is public. Mm-hmm. You know, we carry the mandate from Zimbabwean people, but I don't think that is a discourse. It's low-level political discourse. And for an intellectual, which is the problem with ZANU-PF, I think that is an indictment to the intellectuals and the academy, you know, that contributed to ZANU-PF to be where it is, because the substance and discourse and the role of intellectuals in a political organization must show that these are people that are serious. But once you reduce the discourse into, you know, name calling, we used to do it in the youth assembly. Right now it's about the substance of what you are contributing. It's about your proposition. We have brought our proposition that align with a lot of, you know, Africans, and we are very much confident. Where do we get the mandate? We get the mandate from the people. You know that just even if you go to my own individual capacity, I was voted for by the people of Pelanda. I bear a national mandate being voted for by ordinary Zimbabweans. But the organization that I also belong to has got the mandate of more than a million of Zimbabweans. But I don't think that is the substance of the discourse we should be having. It's about whether or not we agree with the reform of the governance infrastructure at that global level. But to reduce it into, it's not a discourse that I think that I would like to engage on.
I hear you, Mr. Sizwa. While I'm still here with you, let me move on and say, as the assembly progressed, key issues were touched based on climate change, women empowerment. They spoke the council, that the Security Council sits that you spoke about. Are they resonating with the Zimbabwe people, with the African people, within the scope of your presentations and what you are looking for?
I think that the Summit of the Future presented a lot of opportunities in terms of the conversation about how do we as global citizens contribute to preserve, particularly the conversation on climate change. We are battling a lot with carbon credits, particularly in the African continent. Something that we think must be deeply looked into, particularly the fact that we're heading towards, you know, COP29. So it's important to have that understanding, and I think that at the level of theoretical submissions, but I agree with the prof that beyond the theoretical and academic submissions by different governments, institutions, we must go around how to execute and implement all these key resolutions, how to resolve questions of peace. There was a deeper conversation around how do we have sustainable peace, what should be done to Gaza, what should happen in Sudan, and all this big conversation around peace and security, which I think is a good conversation.
You're touching security issues, peace issues. Lamalaza, do we relate with Zimbabwe in as far as the subject he's just touched based on his consent? Peace, human rights.
I think,
chip in,
I think
please.
Probably. Peace. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Lamalaza. Go ahead.
Zimbabwe is the most peaceful country we have in the world and quite a country which follows the human rights. I wanted to say, as I comment, that, you know, when we talk of a larger platform, which is as large as United Nations, we do not have individual ideas which are being flighted by Mr. Osterlund. We have a group, a combined ideas of with the mandate of the people. We cannot simply claim that we have mandate of the people of Zimbabwe, over 1 million people, yet we represent nothing and nobody. And that is not true. That would be a lie to the people of Zimbabwe. Mm-hmm. You cannot advance
In
short, I'm simply saying whatever was represented by Mr. Osterlund is not from the Zimbabweans, but his own experimental academical research, which has no influence in future. But however, as we speak to peace and sustenance in Zimbabwe, we really say we agree with the United Nations. We have been a peaceful country. We will continue to do the same, and we still respect the human rights.
Prof, I need you to come in there real quick. Do you want to respond? Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zininga. I think the issues that were discussed at the United Nations General Assembly resonate quite significantly with the Zimbabwean situation, in the sense that whilst the issue of peace is debatable, some of us argue that whilst there is no war, there is no fighting in Zimbabwe, I think there is suppression of views of quite a number of people that do not agree with government, and also you look at how people have been arrested and so forth. And also the another important issue that I must touch on, Evans, is the role of governance and how it affects issues of inequality and poverty.
Prof. I have to cut you short there before you finish. Unfortunately, let's give Vasisiva a moment also to say something in closing. Unfortunately, is what will you say in closing? I wish we had more time for this.
We have high hope that we must fix our politics in the country. Zimbabwe has got a huge problem around governance, how we conduct our own election. Yes, we are part and parcel of the globe and contribute to the global discourse, but we must be able to fix our politics in the country, because the current challenges we are facing, corruption, violence, illegal arrests, all this must be resolved domestically, and we must be able
you
to...
You have left us hanging. I wish we could have this conversation further, but unfortunately we have run out of time. A big thank you to the Professor Rikim Konza, Dr. Simba Mabaza, and of course Mr. Osterlund Sizwe. Thank you again for coming to the studios. Thank you, listeners and viewers. This brings us to the end of the show. Signing off in Washington, I am Ivan Zininga.